Shalom everyone, and today we're going to study about the month of Elul, Chodesh Elul, the sign of Virgo. And this is the last month of the Hebrew soul calendar. What does it mean? The Hebrew calendar has few cycles. One is the light cycle. The light cycle starts in the month of Aries. And it goes for 12 months till the other next time Aries. However, that's coming from the light aspect. That's about the light, the energy of the creator that is flowing to the universe. It flows by that order from Aries all the way, as we're going to see soon. However, the what is called the seventh month in the biblical calendar is the month of Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. Okay, how could the head of the year be on the seventh month? Because when we're talking about the vessel, from the vessel point of view, the year begins on the month of Libra, which is the seventh month, Tishrei. And what is the vessel? The vessel is our souls. From God's point of view, the year is starting in Aries, but from our point of view, the year is starting from Libra. And I'll explain how it goes later on. But that means that the month of Elul is the last month before the new year for the soul is starting. The vessel, the soul, the recipients, which is us, humanity, or creation. Okay, now, how do we learn about the different forces playing in every month? We either, like in a regular astrology, it's something you have to open an astrology book, and then you have a whole, like, few pages, depend of how elaborated the book is, that explain to you the values or the feelings, the frequencies, the of the sign, and also that the talents and the attributes of the people of that sign. And you know, when you look at it, when I looked at it when I was really young, it looked like a bunch of nonsense, because who said, and what is that based off? Like, who decided that that's the way it is? And then when I started to learn Kabbalah, and you realize when you study Kabbalah that there are the what's the sources, what makes the sign of Virgo to be looking for perfection, for instance. Okay, what in the structure of the month makes it to be like this? So when we look at the month, we will see that in every Hebrew month you have few components that you can learn from these components about what this month is capable of, what kind of frequencies, energies are being presented to us during this month, what kind of opportunities we get during this month, and if we are born in this month, what kind of a journey we should expect to, and where should we be focused on when we want to achieve our calling and to really get the utmost of what we need. So what we see over here in front of us, we see a few pieces of information. A, we see that from the book of formation, Sefer Yetzirah, which is related to Abraham the patriarch, and this book speaks about the creation of the universe. Whoever saw the movie The Matrix, the creators of this movie got a lot of inspiration from this book, because the Book of Formation is basically, remember, it's a 4,000 years old book, is describing reality, the universe, as a computer program based on the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and which means that every aspect of reality has kind of a numeric value and a letters combinations that generated that frequency that we can see it as a physical being or an object or part or a aspect of time. All of them, whatever we feel, you know, if I can see a differentiation between one tree to another, one animal to another, one human being to another, or the difference between one day to another, 1 hour to another, it's because we know now about computers, it's all about different code lines. So that's what the Book of Formation was telling us. It's a different code. If you decipher the code, you can understand what's really behind it. So when we are talking about the month of Elul, Virgo, okay, the month of Elul, we can see that it's composed of two letters. It's not two letters, it's more complicated than that. It's composed of one permutation of letters that starts with the letter Yud, and that is for Virgo. And you have also the influence of Mercury, that the letter Resh is the letter combination, that the beginning of all the letter code of this month. What does that mean? If I can understand what Yud stems for, or what Resh stems for, then I can understand better what this month is about. So what is Yud? Okay, when we're talking about Virgo. Okay, the letter Yud in Hebrew is the number 10. Okay, and even today, when we speak like, you know, simple talk, it's like, I want to do this event. How do you want this event to be? I want it 10. Okay, when you say 10, you mean you want it the best. You want it complete. You want it perfect. Okay, and we know that wanting it big and perfect, it's a very, very important part of a human being's life, which means it's the engine, the drive for excellence, for that makes people grow, on one hand. On the other hand, that is also a psychological problem, what is called obsessive compulsive. When people are looking for things to be perfect, and you know that perfect is the enemy of good, because good is not perfect. And when you're trying, as the Hebrew saying say, tafasta merubelo tafasta, which means you're trying it to perfect it too much, then you can destroy the whole thing. Kol ha-musif gorea. When you add to perfection, you basically destroy the achievement. So we have two aspects of that. And if we go deeper, we can find it as the words of the Zohar. The word for Virgo in Hebrew is Betula, okay, which simply means a virgin. Okay, now the question is like this: what's the source? The Zohar, the Holy Zohar, is asking, what's the source of this word? Now, the Zohar is about 2,000 years old, but it's based on the words of the Torah and the rest of the books of the Hebrew Bible. And it says the word Betula comes, the source for it is Bat El, the daughter of God, or Beit El, the house of God, which is no contradiction. When we speak about the daughter of God, which means, who is the daughter of God? The soul, the creation is the daughter of God. If God is endless and therefore perfect, there must be that his creation is perfect. Okay, so when we speak about the daughter of God, we're talking about perfection. When we're talking about Beit El, the house of God, we are talking about perfection, because the house of God is that construction that the divinity, the Holy Spirit or holiness of God has to dwell on. And if you want it to dwell on it, it has to be perfect, which means if it is imperfect and blemished, how could the perfect spirit of the Creator dwell on such a place? Okay, so a temple must be created from the aspiration of perfection. So here we already understand why people that were born under the sign of Virgo, they have a very strong urge to look for perfection, which means they can be amazing proofreaders, which means you can give a text to a typical Virgo and they will find the mistakes in no time, which means they will feel where the mistakes are. They don't even need to read the document. That's from my experience, okay? And while a typical Aries or a Gemini, don't let them proofread stuff because they're not built for that. They don't care for the details. They care for the creativity, okay? Unless they have a very strong influence of a Virgo. Okay, so what we're talking about, that the Virgo has this amazing sense of perfection, and he will sense, or she will sense, the imperfection from far away, just by that sense, because their sensitivity is so strong. Okay, the same way you can find a lot of designers, very talented designers, architects, and so on, people of that source that are from the sign of Virgo. Why? It's that ability, that it's a gift. It's a kind of a gift from God, that somebody is trying to build a beautiful house, and whatever they do, it doesn't do it. Something is wrong. So then you bring a designer, a Virgo. And they move things around, change something here, something over there, and then the place will give you a sense of perfection, of like a temple. That's the talent of a true Virgo. That sense of bringing things to harmony so it can be the house of God, so it can be the daughter of God, so it can be a manifestation of a perfect Creator, that here you help that creativity to come to fruition, and then everybody can sense it and feel that. On the other hand, you have you have an obsession, obsessive compulsive behavior, in which you cannot feel comfortable if something is not exactly balanced. So I like to tell this story. I was once giving a lecture many years ago, and I realized as I'm giving the lecture that there's a picture behind me that is a little bit crooked. It's not hanging straight. It's a little bit on the side. Okay? And there were two students who were really like the ultimate Virgos in the crowd. And I wanted to make a test. I didn't want to change to balance the picture so it looks okay. I want to see their reaction. And I could see that these two people sitting in the crowd, they cannot listen. They cannot concentrate on me, the teacher. Both of them were focused, transfixed on the picture. And you could see the discomfort they feel. Till finally, in the middle of the lesson, there were 100 people over there. One of them, who sat closer to the wall, got up, went to the wall, and he straightened the picture. And then with a sigh of relief, he sat down. The other Virgo, who sat two rows behind him, got up and tapped on his shoulder and said, thank you so much. And that's an aspect of Virgo that is very, very famous, and we see where it's coming from. It's that structure of thinking that is is so sensitive to imperfections. As I said, that could be a great gift. That could be also a source of a lot of discomfort. Okay, so that's about just by seeing the letter Yud and understanding the name of the sign in Hebrew. And here on the right, in front of us, we see the letter Resh. The letter Resh is the letter that created that frequency that the planet Mercury represents in our universe. Okay, so what is, short, we'll go later on into more details. What is Resh? So there is a saying in the Zohar, in the entrance to the Zohar, there's a whole article about the Hebrew letters. And it says about the letter Resh, that the letter Resh shows poverty. In Hebrew, Resh is poor. While in European languages, many of them, it means rich. Okay, but in Hebrew it means poor. If you look at the letter Resh, you see the poverty. It's empty. There's nothing inside. There's another letter that is kind of a sister letter to the Resh, and that's the Hebrew letter Dalit. But if you know how the Hebrew letters are structured, the difference between a Dalit and a Resh, and Dalit means poverty also. It's another word that means poverty. Dalit is exactly like a Resh, but the letter Yud, you see a Yud over here, on the left, that's a letter Yud, is stuck to the Resh in its corner. You know, the Resh is one corner, right? When it's a 90 degrees point. When you stick a Yud backwards on that corner, you get the letter Dalit. Now, the Zohar says that can make a whole huge difference. Why? Because one of the most important words in the Hebrew language is the word Echad. Echad means one. The whole life project of a human being can be described as reaching one. What does it mean one? That every aspect of your life, you make one between the heavens and the earth, the spiritual and the physical, the soul and the body, the light and the vessel. If you really want Kabbalistically to understand what makes people happy, what makes people feel good, is that ability that only human beings have. Animals do not have that. It's the ability to unify the heaven and the earth together, the light and the vessel, the spiritual and the physical. Which means if our job was being just up there in the higher realms, the nirvana, and that's our job, why are we born in a physical body? And if our job is to get rid of it, okay, so that's not very hard to get rid of the body. So why people still continue to come and incarnate into bodies? And the answer is, we have a job. And the job is not to be up there, because the soul, before we're born, the soul was up there. What was the purpose of the soul to come down here? Because down here, we have a job that no one else can do. And this job is to bring the divinity into the physical life. And that means Echad, one. So the most important prayer in the Bible, in the Torah, is Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. The real meaning is not as I just said in English, because you can't really translate, but it really meant that whatever is up is a mirror of whatever is down and vice versa. And our job is as humans is to unite the two realms together, and only we can do that. so that Echad, the One, is everywhere, must be everywhere. When we realize that, then we reach the individual redemption, and also the when humanity reaches that, we reach the Messianic age. However, the Zohar says the word Echad, which has the numerical value of 13, which is also the same value of Ahava, love, okay? Because love is one, and one is love. But if we take from that letter Dalet of the word Echad, we take the Yud away, what's left is Acher. And Acher means the other, not in the good sense, the other side, the dark side, the side of the false self, the body consciousness, the selfishness, the dark side we all have, that we're giving that dark side in order to overcome it, so we can achieve the divinity and the godliness by our actions. So just that little yud that will make the difference between Dalet and Reish can make the difference between Echad, which is completion of our goals, and Acher, which means the dark side, which is the obstacles for achieving our goals. Okay, so we understand over here that Mercury, which is generated by that letter Reish, has two aspects. One aspect, hunger. And therefore, we know that Mercury is a symbol for speed. Why would somebody go and act fast? The answer is, there's a big lack. There's a big need. There's hunger. You know, hungry people, people will feel poor, which means it doesn't matter how much money they have in the bank, they don't feel they have enough. That's the drive to move forward and to move fast. That's the letter Reish. Also, we know that Mercury is the planet for communication. And we see later on what does it mean. It's communication. And you do not communicate if you don't have need. Okay? And we know, because Mercury is connected so much to mass communication, commerce, communication, sales, which means selling, what does it mean? That's communication between the producer and the customer, okay? All of that, if there's no demand, there won't be supply. If there's a supply without a demand, there won't be any communication, there won't be any economy, okay? So the letter Reish is about the need, the demand that creates whatever our civilization is about, consuming, producing, marketing, and that therefore planet Mercury is very much into that aspect of communication. But that communication, if it is just solely based on the Reish, which means there's no Dalet over here, there's no Yud, the Yud is not activated. And what does it mean? It's only because of a selfish need that that's what the Reish is symbolizing. So all marketing, all consumption will create a sick society that is obsessed with shop till you drop, obsessed with marketing, selling, creating demand, creating in order to satisfy the supply, and creating a society that is running like crazy with a constant need and lack that is never satiated. That's the bad side of the letter Reish of Mercury, which is a symbol of the speed, the communication of our society, merchandise and ideas. So we just gave one aspect, just from the little details that we have in front of us. How do you analyze what the sign of Virgo is about? Then we have another letters combination. We have Hey, Vav, and Yud. And that is from the Zohar, Tikkuni Zohar, the introduction to the Tikkuni Zohar. Tikkuni Zohar is part of the Holy Zohar, but it's a kind of an appendix that is made of 70 different commentaries on the first word of Genesis, Bereshit, which is poorly translated into in the beginning. Bereshit, remember, 70 different chapters of different ways to explain the word Bereshit. Okay, so it's not in the beginning, it's something much deeper than that. But in the introduction to it, the Zohar says there, if you take the Tetragrammaton, the holy name of God, there are 12 different possible permutations of this name. Each one of them is representing the or connecting to the frequency of one of the 12 signs of the zodiac. The one for Virgo is the one we see in front of us, Hey, Hey, Vav, Yud, from right to left. So you see there are two Heys in the beginning and then Vav and Yud. And what does that mean? Just from the simple aspect, you see that the two Heys are female letters. The Vav and the Yud are male letters. Female means recipient. So you see that you have the different combination of giving and receiving to create the harmony, but here in this permutation for the month of Virgo, you have the female aspect much stronger because it starts with two letters A. And that means it means that the female comes first, it means there is an initiation that has to come during this month from us, from the female, from the recipient, from the human soul. And we'll see what does that mean soon. Okay? But just as a shallow explanation, what does it mean? Because there are many, many aspects into it. It's about a female and the Ohev Israel, I'm sorry, the Bnei Sakhar, the author of the book Bnei Sakhar, which is Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov. He was a sage from Eastern Europe, 19th century. And he just collected all the astrological texts in all Jewish writings till his time. And he says, when we want to relate to the month of Virgo, there's something very, very special about this month. And he says, if you go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 22, again, the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 22, it says, Matza isha matza tov, vayafek ratzon mehashem. Translation, the one who finds a woman, a wife, he finds good. And then he will get his wants from God. Now, the simple explanation is whoever finds a righteous woman, he will have the ability to receive what God wants to give him and to receive a fulfillment from God. That's one thing. Okay, but that's a simple explanation, which is a true explanation. However, every verse in the Bible has deeper meanings that are also right behind the obvious one. And that means about the month of Elul. Elul hen yemei. And what does it mean? The days of Elul, the days of the month of Virgo, are days of Ratzon. He says Ratzon means achieving what you need, what you desire from God. But here he says there's another way to look at that word. The word is the word Ratzon. Ratzon means also goodwill, appeasement. And what does it mean, appeasement? Says the Zohar as follows. Every human being has two aspects of their soul, as we learned before. You have the Echad and you have the Acher. you have that aspect of the true soul, the true living soul of every human being that is always wishing, trying, pushing to connect to God, always hungry to connect to the real light of the Creator. And then we have the evil inclination side, the other side, acher, which is the body inclination, which is, you know, if we eat whatever we feel like eating, if we just sleep whatever we feel like sleeping, you know, and we just sleep whenever we want and get up, when we'll have a terrible life. If we want to have a long life, it will be miserable and short. Okay? We need, since we're kids, to overcome the urges of the body, which is the dark side of a human being. And the more we can connect to the soul, the more successful we will become. So says the author, the Bnei Sakhar, על פי רוב הרע מתגבר ונדמה לאדם בדעתו שזה הטוב. Usually, when you have the fight between the two voices in our head, the voice of the head, I'm sorry, the voice of the soul, the voice of the Echad, that urge to connect to divinity, and we have the voice of the body of selfishness and egotism, many, many times we think that the voice of our physical body and of the evil inclination, we are sure that this is the good voice. How many times we thought for ourselves that that's a right thing to do, and then we realize later on that was wrong, and we listened to our dark side when we did what we did with a total conviction that that's the right thing to do, and we realized it was the wrong thing to do. It was totally darkness, but we had total conviction that this is the good one. So one big problem of human beings, says the Bnei Sakhar, we can't tell which voice is the good one for us. And many, many times we make the mistake and we follow the bad voice and we into our destruction and pain. Okay? אבל בעת שמתעורר הרצון העליון לעורר נפשות ישראל לתשובה, but during the month of Virgo, the upper רצון, the upper goodwill awakens our souls, the female aspect of our soul, these are the two hays you see over there, to connect to the light. And then it's easier for all of us to find within ourselves the good voice. The power of this month is to allow us to search, when we search inside, to find that female voice that we're talking spiritually female, the soul is female, the real true vessel, not the false vessel, not that vessel that says, if you accumulate enough money, you'll be happy. It's going to be anyway. If you're going to get enough physical strength or political strength, you'll be happy. Of course you'll be happy. You don't need more than, to do more than that. But the real true voice from within says, if you're not going to follow certain rules and certain values, you'll never be fulfilled. You'll never be an achiever. It will always be false, empty, and void. It's easier during the month of Virgo to find that female voice. And we know, if you look at male, men and women, who is better tendency towards spirituality? Statistically, I'm not talking every person. We know that women are much more sensitive. We know that women have better sensitivity towards towards the spiritual aspect. In many, many countries, you go to classes about spirituality, you find overwhelming majority of women. Okay? So to find the voice of the soul, that woman inside us, okay? That female aspect, the female aspect of our soul, that And that is the real voice. It's easier during this month because there's an awakening during this month to find that perfection of our true self during this month of Elul. Okay, also, we know that it has an impression. If you remember the story of the Exodus happens on a full moon of Aries. 50 days later on, there is the Mount Sinai revelation, and the Torah is being given there for a whole nation, first time and the last time in history of humanity. Okay? However, 40 days later, Moses comes down from the mount and he sees the golden calf and he breaks the tablets. Okay? That's the 17th of Cancer, the month of Cancer, if you do the math. Okay? So about almost, let's say, 6 weeks later, Moses goes to the mount again. And he goes to the mount when? On the new moon of Virgo. He goes to the mount for 40 more days. He goes there on the first day of Virgo. He comes down with a second set of tablets and with God's forgiveness on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But the Day of Atonement is not by itself. The Day of Atonement is the completion of 40 days of atonement, which means from the new moon of Virgo, there is the Jewish tradition of repentance, transformation, soul searching that is starting on the new moon of Virgo, and it takes 40 days, and the culmination is the Day of Atonement, in which we can wash our negativity away with the help of the Creator and create a better version of ourselves. Most of these 40 days are in the 30 days of the month of Virgo, okay, that we just started. So we see there is a connection between that, and since those 40 days were crucial for the history of humanity, because when we using what is called the two tablets, that message on the two tablets, we're talking about the second tablets. The tablets that came as a message of forgiveness, a message that human beings make mistakes. It's not okay, but you made a mistake, get up and transform and change it, repair it. And that gift of repentance is the one of the biggest gifts that humanity ever received. And that is embodied with it in the time dimension, in the 40 days of the month of Elul and the 10 days following. Okay, so we can see it over here. So let's, if we continue trying to understand, how do you get the idea of a zodiac sign? So here we have in front of us another way to look at it. We're talking about the time frame of 1 year, one cycle, one zodiac cycle, and we see again the formula of the tetragrammaton, the four letters of the name of God, but now it applies to the four seasons. Okay? Now, in Hebrew, the word for a season is onah. And onah means in Hebrew also mating. Mating between above and below, the divine and the mundane. So there are four intervals every year that in each one of them, there's another aspect of union that we, humanity, mortals, have to achieve in order to fulfill ourselves. So we're starting with the spring, and the spring is represented by the letter Yud in the Hebrew alphabet. And the Yud, as we said, is Chochmah, is fire, energy, creativity, completion, force. Okay? And therefore we learn that by the core, all three signs of the spring, Aries, Taurus, and Gemini, are basically fire signs. And therefore you see that Aries, Taurus, and Gemini, all three are really energetic, full of energy, okay? And also have the tendency for selfishness because of the fire sign is, you know, fire is something that consumes, eats, receives all the time, okay? On the other levels, of course, they're different from each other because one, Aries is the right column, Taurus is the left column, Gemini is the central column of the spring signs. So Aries, right column is chesed, water. So that's why you can explain the giving and the kind heart of the Aries, although it looks like a fire sign, how come Aries are always the first one to jump in to help a friend? That's because it's the chesed, the water energy over there. Okay, so these are some examples. But we are in the second season, and the second season is the summer, which is the manifestation of the letter Hey. And letter Hey is the female of the upper world, and that's called Bina, mother. And therefore, all three signs of the summer have this aspect of motherly love, sometimes very obsessive motherly love. Sensitivity, motherly, it's water, the energy of sharing and emotions. Okay? So you find by Cancer, the sign of Cancer, everybody knows, whoever knows a little bit of astrology, they have this obsessive tendency to share, to care, to love, to help others, till they, if they're not really spiritual, they can become really drained. And then they develop blame and shame and guilt, stuff like this, like a lot of mothers. Okay, the left column is Leo, which is the father. But again, the father has a lot of motherly responsibility. And the father is the one, you know, if we're talking about Leo, I'm the only one who's giving advices over here. Okay, and it's all about the drama. And drama is emotions and water. Now we come to Virgo. And where is the giving and the sharing of the Virgo? First of all, you see, you know, when you ask Virgo a question about something, you're going to get a whole flood of information with so many details. And you ask him, why do you need to tell me all of these details? Oh, you'll see by the end. You never see. Okay? Because here you have the unbalanced, imbalanced giving of details. Okay? In other way, a lot of Virgos, they are in the caretaking business, which means nurses or alternative medicines like healing. And why is that? Because they have this motherly love, giving and sharing. And on one hand, on the other hand, they have this amazing ability to see, remember, where things are not appropriate. So it's not just about, you know, healing the room by redesigning it, but healing a person. Because a person's temple could be his home or business, but it's also his body. So you can find a lot of people in alternative medicine that they can give a lot. They have this ability, talent, like magical talent, to see where you got off balance. And how can you rebalance yourself? Okay? And that's a magical gift that Virgo has. It doesn't mean that all the ones who are like giving healing, they're Virgos, but a lot of them have a very strong Virgo influence. Okay? It's all about service and giving and also. And that, however, that will be, if you see, this is the third month of the summer. The third is always air, which means intellectual. There is not just giving that is coming from deep emotional sensitivity that they do have because of the water of the whole three summer months, but it has the air which is intelligence. It's about looking for the knowledge, using the knowledge in order to find, finally, central column, balance. And healing is all about bringing people back to balance. And now the earth sign aspect about it, that's about bringing it to fruition. That's about making it happening. Okay, and if we add also the Mercury, so we see that you have Mercury and intellect, it's going together, and here is the central column. So although Virgo is an earth sign, but you see with a lot of Virgos, a lot of very strong of air, because that's coming from the central column, which is air of this month, the third month of the summer, and the energy and the qualities of Mercury, which means air, the ability to communicate, to bridge, to unite. Okay, so we got another aspect of explaining and understanding the quality of the sign of Virgo. Here, let's add some few more things. We know that the 12 tribes of Israel, each one of them is representing one of the 12 signs of the zodiac. The one for Elul is the tribe of Zevulun. This is by order of birth. There's another set, which is by the way they camped in the desert. I'm using the one that is by the order of birth. Zevulun is that tribe. And if you look at the word Zevulun in Hebrew, the word Zevul is another name for the temple. Okay? Zevulun was a merchant. He supported his brother Issachar that was sitting and studying. And there was a deal between the two. Issachar will study and Zevulun will make commerce and trade, and he will support Issachar. And by this, the merit that Issachar gains from spiritual growth, Zevulun finances it. He will gain both worlds. He will gain the world of physical world, commerce, okay, selling, sailing, whatever, but he will get, because he supports the study of the Torah, he will get that world also. And therefore, Zevulun is more important than Issachar. Okay? Why? Because he is, again, the one who creates the temple. What's the temple? That's a connection between the physical and the spiritual, the divine and the mundane. So that's why that's basically the calling of every human being. Okay, we have here also the meaning of teshuvah. As we said, what people call in Hebrew repentance, but the words of the Zohar teach us that teshuvah, that is the word for repentance, is made of two words, teshuv hey, return the hey. The hey, as we said, that's a female aspect, that's a real desire, that's a real me. When we are disconnected from the spiritual, from the divine, then we become void, null, empty, hungry, psychotic and erotic and upset. And then we're not balanced. Okay? Returning the hay, the will, the desire back to the spiritual realm, reconnecting, basically, that's what Virgo is about. It's reconnecting, recommunicating. That is the basic of this month. Now, the Ana Bekoach prayer, which is a very ancient prayer that is based on a much more ancient meditation, is made of seven rows. Okay? These seven rows, each one of them connects to another frequency of the seven that also connect to the seven planets. And therefore, the Zohar is teaching us, when we make that prayer, it's really a very high level meditation. And that high level meditation, each verse of it, the initials, if when we meditate on them, as we make that prayer, we open a window in the upper universe. So the sixth one, Yachid Ge'eh L'amcha Pnei Zochrei Kedushatecha. Okay, we read it in the bottom of the page. Okay, what's important is to meditate on the initials. Yud, where you see the word window, you see the six letters, Yud, Gimel, Lamed, Pei, Zayin, Kuf. If you feel frustrated because you don't understand the word, don't be frustrated because it has no meaning in Hebrew. It is just a code to open the window, one of the seven powerful windows in the upper universe. When you open, says the Zohar, when you open that window, then you see another window. The window of the letter Resh, that's a letter for the planet Mercury, okay? When you open that window, you can open the window. There are two possible windows you can open over there, Virgo and Gemini, okay? So for Virgo, it was the letter Yud. For Gemini, it was the letter Zayin. Okay, that we spoke about it when we spoke about Gemini. Okay, so here, you have here a meditation that, you know, thousands of years later, somebody developed the most popular computer program that is called Windows, that you open a window, you get in, you open another window, you get in, then you open a file, you edit the file, you save it, and you close the windows. That's exactly how it is happening in the upper world. So what frequency do we want to connect to when we use that window? Yud, Gimel, Lamed, Pei, Zayin, Kuf. And the answer is that one is the ability to achieve victory, because when we really achieve union with the upper world, that is the real true victory. Okay? That's a real victory. You know, making a lot of money, that's not victory. Buying a beautiful house, that's not a victory. Having a lot of stuff that we think this is achieving our desires, that's not a real victory. Victory is when we inject the divine into every aspect of our daily work, our relationship, and so on. This is victory. And also that's connecting to, because it's the sixth verse, it's connected to Sefirat Yesod. Yesod is the connector between the upper world and the physical world. However, the Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in the 18th century, one of the greatest Kabbalists, taught us that there is something else about this combination. When we're talking about our era, we are in the late part, the last quarter of the sixth millennium. The sixth millennium of this chapter of humanity. And this sixth millennium is called the millennium of the Messiah. And the millennium of the Messiah is dependent, according to the prophets, with the dissemination of wisdom and knowledge. When wisdom and knowledge are going to be marketed, spread, communicated all around the world, that is when the messianic age will commence. And therefore, when we read Isaiah 11, when we read about the messianic age, it speaks about the Messiah, the spirit of wisdom and so on and so forth, and the world, and then the boy will live together, the lamb together with the leopard, and so on. And how would that happen? And then it says, כי מלאה הארץ דעה את השם כמים לים מכסים, because the earth will be full with the wisdom, with the knowledge of God, like water covered the sea. Which means the whole messianic age, the whole arrival of humanity to its calling depends on communication of the spiritual wisdom. Who can do it more than Mercury? Mercury is the planet of mass communication. What we see around, the hysterical development that is so speedy of the internet, cellular phones, smartphones, the whole thing that it's every day it's getting stronger and more intense. This is the energy. So when we meditate on Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf, we should act not the whole year long, not just during this month. It's to activate the and intensify the spread of spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge. Because if we do not use that, then it will become reish, poor, void, empty, and disappointing. As we know, the media today, we can see that in many, many parts of the world, the local media is being used somehow to basically as a running a psychological warfare against the population. And that's why we see all over the world the newspapers, the traditional media, TV, radio, is simply falling apart financially. People start to realize they were listening to the wrong voice, because they realize they're being manipulated, that the media is not delivering the right information, the media is delivering the information that is obsessed with taking control and manipulating people to behave according to the interest of some bodies of power that are behind the media. And because the world is changing so fast, and the internet is changing so fast, and it just that big transformation since 1990 especially, which is the beginning of the last quarter of the sixth millennium of the millennium, the Mashiach. This is exactly where we should be focused on awakening the right good voice sound, as we said before, the sound of the soul. So people are becoming more sensitive, and they simply, when they feel being manipulated to the dark side of weakness, slavery, basically terrorizing people with fear, when people start to realize not to listen to it, it's because of that power of Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. And as we meditate on that, we get strength in order to become immune to all of this brainwashing around us. So of course we can learn much more about it, but the simple thing in the Book of Formation is that Virgo, that Mercury, on a good aspect of Mercury, instead of terrorizing people, that's the judgment side, it could be also the link to divinity, to the link to repentance, the link to God. So it depends on us which aspect of Mercury we're using. And now it's not just on the month of, it's not just during the month of Virgo, but it's all year long for the next few hundred years. Thank you so much, and have a great spiritual positive month that we can use all the benefits.